Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك, His is the kingdom. وله الحمد, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير, in His hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير, and He has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave serving His last and final prophet. We say Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Wallahu anbatakum min al-ardi nabata. Sadaq Allah al-Azim. This is Surah 71, Ayah 17. And an expression of it is, and Allah has produced you growing from the earth gradually like a plant. A couple of hadith of Muhammad, reports attributed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says Ibn Majah relates that Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, he emerged one day, that is, his house was right at the place of the masjid. And anybody who's been blessed to go to Medina, you can, alhamdulillah, you can walk and pray in the place where the Prophet walked. you can go and make prayer. I believe it's called, it may be the Rauda, I'm not absolutely certain of the terminology, but I remember, Masha, I know I'm out, you know me. So, I remember when I was blessed to get to that, because sometimes you can't get to it because people, everybody know. You know, we hear, and it's one of the key places that we've been trying to get anyway, right? I think a prayer there is said to be worth like 10,000 prayers or something like that. It's a big number. It's a big number. So you want to get there. Alhamdulillah. So yes, alhamdulillah, this is no boast, and I don't want to deprive myself of the reward by mentioning it, so this is no boast. But praying there, and that's the thought that comes to mind. The Prophet's house is here, and he would walk to the minbar to do what he did, and he would make his prayers in there. You putting your head in a place where the Prophet's footprints could be. That, okay. It's not idol worship or anything like that. It's the thought. Yes. Just the thought. Okay, let's go back to the hadith. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet, he emerged one day and entered the masjid. He found before him two gatherings. One was engaged in Quranic recitation and invoking Allah, that is making dua, making supplications. And the other were engaged in scholarly discourse. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, he said, each of these groups, in each of them there is good. These, speaking of the one reciting the Quran and invoking Allah, he said, if Allah wills, he'll grant them what they request, and if he wills, he will withhold it. These are engaged in scholarly discourse, and I have been sent as a teacher. So he went and sat with the group that was engaged in scholarly discourse. And Ibn al-Mubarak, after relating this hadith, in Kitab al-Zuhd, he adds, this means that the latter is better. Engage in a scholarly discourse. Other hadith that support the spirit of that, and the letter, literally, of what's been expressed by the first reading, or hadith. Ibn Majah states that Abu Dhar, radiallahu anhuma, related this directly from the Prophet, that Abu Darda said, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, Abu Darda, he said that the Prophet said, studying religious knowledge for an hour is better than spending a night in prayer. Studying religious knowledge for an hour is better than spending the whole night in prayer. Who said that? The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, attaining religious knowledge is more beloved to me. This is the Prophet speaking about himself. Attaining religious knowledge is more beloved to me than standing the entire night in prayer. So how important is knowledge? And yes, most certainly, religious knowledge, right? Because it's the highest knowledge. Let me see if I can marginally just make this statement. The Quran, what Allah has revealed to us is, in market language, there's this thing called the highest best use, right? If and whenever we sell this property, one of the first things that somebody researching the value of the property is going to seek an answer to is, well, what is its highest and best use? Is its highest and best use as it is? Or is its highest best use to tear it down, put something else on it? That would be somebody else's decision, right? Okay, what Allah reveals to us in the Quran, He reveals to us the highest best use of everything. Whatever He's telling us about, this is the highest, best use of it, what Allah reveals, right? Here's what we want to point to as a slight misleaning, I'll put it, that has found its way for, I don't know, it could be 1,000 years, depends on who you read, because 5 centuries after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims as a whole fell off, right? And we've been trying to get back on, you know, literally ever since, alhamdulillah. But because somebody sold us an emphasis that prayer is better than your growth, the growth of your intellect. You know, it's all about the heart. It's all about life after death. It's all about the Jannah. It's all about... So the intellect was not applied in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended that it be applied. Tell your book, Crisis in the Muslim Mind. You need to read that book if you haven't read it. It's just critical to understand what I'm talking about historically. It's by Abdul Hamid Abu Suleiman. Sometimes I've said, like, there's 5 books that you should read before you give, take the Quran, take the Hadith for associates of Imam Wadidi Muhammad. Read his material on the regular. But outside of that, that's one of them, the At-Tawheed with its implication for thought and life by Ismail Farooqi, rahimahullah alayhi, and these two, Abu Suleiman. I won't go down the list any further than that. But he breaks down and explains how the Muslims of the 21st, now it's the 21st century, but he was speaking 20th century at that time. How did we get here? And it started way back with the assassination of Uthman, rahimahullah alayhi. If you get to that history, but I'm kind of swerving a little further than I want to go. I'm saying that to say somebody began to sell us the pie in the sky, by and by, Islam. And there are many who have bought it. There was this movement in a period of time. It died off, but there are certain inklings of it. La dunya. That was like a marching order, right? Like somebody said, stay woke. Right, whatever that means, stay woke, right? Well, there was a movement among the Muslims that gained some currency, La Dunya, nothing of this world. Nothing, that's shaitan, man. And we thank Allah. You want to know why we thank Allah for Imam Wahdati Muhammad and for what we gained in preparation of that from the Nation of Islam, those who had that participation? Everybody didn't need it, but those of us who got it, most of us needed it. So... the idea was that the Imam comes back in the Nation of Islam and says there is no mystery God. It was right, but it was wrong, right? There is no mystery God. That's true. There's no a God is evident. There's no mystery. He's the hidden and the obvious, right? The open and the quote hidden, right? Okay, but the idea is that Imam Muhammad came and said, well, okay, look right here in the Quran, Imam. This is what he did for us. He said, okay, they talk about they don't want nothing of this world. And he's telling us they're sliding the same thing under you that was slid into the Trinitarian Christians. You got somebody in Al-Islam, but they're trying to give you a perception and an orientation in your religion, just like the one that was given to the Trinitarian Christians. Say, I don't want nothing of this world. Just give me Jesus or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't mad. I mean, mashallah. Y'all know what I'm saying. But now here come a Muslim selling that kind of idea to you. And the Imam said, come over here. Let me show you something. Look right here in this verse right here. 28th chapter, 77th verse here. What does this say? Seek with the means that Allah has made available to you the life hereafter. Go for it, right? But don't forget your share. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth saying. Don't you forget your share of the dunya. Take a deep breath and try to say, let me see if I can get to another level of understanding of that. I'm talking about you personally. Because Allah has said, all of this that I have created, not only is it for you, it's an inheritance for all human beings. It's your inheritance. Not only that, I created it to serve you. I know, and I repeat that kind of thing, and maybe when I get to that place, I say, why do you always go like that when you get to that part, you know? Because it's just like, I think I love, but I get kind of miffed when I sense that sometimes. It's not this group here particularly. I'm just saying, in our world, I feel like we should be more animated about getting our share of this universe, which is a gift and inheritance to us that's created by nature to serve us. Why don't we feel served when we don't feel served? In fact, there are those who feel like the universe is against them. I mean, that's what depression and suicide and all the other stuff, mashallah, may Allah have mercy on all those who suffer from that. But it ain't from God. All right, so in terms of the reality has been flipped for us, and that's those who are suffering what I'm saying, meaning you have a wrong-headed idea about what is the superior value that you should pursue in this world. And I'm trying to show from what the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you need to increase the strength of your intellect, and yes, with religious knowledge. But don't hear that word religious knowledge and think life after death. Religious knowledge is a tool, right? Religious knowledge, religious science really is better said. Religious science is revealed for the purpose of getting the service of creation. So now all that winds back to what I said, the highest, best use. So when you read the Quran, Allah is going to tell us in a way that, look, the highest, best use of this is how it helps you have a good life after this life. That's God telling us that's the highest, best use. Just think about it. This is real mundane, what I'm about to say, but it gets you into the area. You know, there was a time when, of course, I traveled a whole lot more than I have more recently in the past couple of years, whatever. And sometimes you get on the plane, say, oh, man, I forgot my Lululu, whatever it is. It could have been a little device that, man, I was going to read that book while I was on the leg of the trip from here to there. Man, left the book, man, forgot about it, right? Get to the hotel. Of course, you can handle the toothbrush stuff, you know, complimentary. But you get to the hotel at different times. Oh, man, I forgot this, forgot that. Okay, if you can relate to that, what about when you die from this world and it's judgment time and it's real? See, now, if you're a believer, you already know that. If you're a believer, you've already accepted that. Look, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be judged, and that's real, and I have no doubt about it. I ain't like, well, man, what? It might be, it might not. No, get off that. It's happening. All right? So God is saying, don't forget your share of the material world. But be prepared. Use what you do get to make sure that your destiny is a good destiny. You don't want to be in a situation like, man, I forgot my prayers. I forgot my zakat. It's too late now, homie. It's like, that's it. So you don't want to forget that, right? All right. So when you read the Quran and you want the highest best use of whatever it is that you read. But remember, Allah is saying, I'm giving you the highest best use of what I'm revealing. But everything beneath that highest best use is useful for getting what he has, what you have inherited in this world. Meaning that I got the heaven peace. I got the Jannah peace. I got the paradise peace. And I'm respecting that. So I am doing this, whatever I'm talking about. Whatever your prayer, right? Dua, fasting. On the first order, I'm doing all that for that day when there's no turning back. And that day about which there is no doubt. I'm doing all, that's the first intention that you have to have for it. And when you have that intention in place, alhamdulillah, rabbilah, you're good. So you don't spoil whatever it is that you're doing. Again, prayer, charity, fasting, hajj, any of those rituals that we practice, that's fine. Don't spoil them with an intention. Excuse me, I just have to keep these little cough drops sometimes, so excuse me. So hold that intention pure. Now go back to the verse, 28:77. Hold that intention. So now I'm giving you interpretation right now. When I say interpretation, a way of seeing it. Seek what the means that God has made available to you life hereafter. Translation for practice, when you read the Quran and you read what the prophet said, think about it first as it relates to your life hereafter. That's the first place you want to get it, because that's the highest, best use of whatever you read from the Quran, life of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That's good. You got that. Lock that in. Make your intention for that understanding pure. Make your intention for that knowledge as a carriage to you, to destiny. Make that solid and pure. But don't forget your share of the material world. What does that mean in practice? One of the things that I'm trying to share that it means in practice is, now, what's the science behind this ritual? Yeah, that's worth a pause. Because if you don't get that, you only got half of the answer. Important half. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. But you may be more of an angel than an Adam. So if you, look, I have my intentions straight. I know that prayer, fasting, charity, hajj is all for the sake of Allah, sake of purification, sake of preparing myself. Actually, that's a part of the nurturance of the soul with whom we're all pregnant. Every one of us, male, female, you're pregnant with your own soul. And as long as you are in this world, you are pregnant with your own soul. When you die, that's when your soul is really born. So this life is what? Prenatal care. Yeah, I love it. I mean, you gotta love that, man. Because it's natural. Deen al-fitr. Everything in this world is a sign. God is saying, pay attention to this because this is what's happening to you. Don't just think about it physically. It's going on psychically, abstractly, spiritually, etc. So what you need to do for yourself, if you were physically, literally pregnant, is the same thing you have to do for yourself psychically, spiritually, soul-wise, so that when you are born into the world that comes after this world, you don't have to go into, the NICU? I just remember because I've had children who have, and grandchildren who had to be in that unit, right? The neonatal intensive care unit. And life after this is called hell, okay? Because hell is not forever. There will be an end for hell, but you don't want to wait. Oh, man, that was a long time, right? You don't want to be there to find out. It's like, damn, man, it's 14 million years. What's going on? All right, let's go back. So, seek what the means that God has made available to you to life hereafter. highest use and value of what you read of religious knowledge from Al-Islam is that will take you to paradise, that which gives you a perception of life after death that is real and solid, that you have yuqinun, that you have such a certainty about it that it's like, it ain't even a question. I mean, how certain are you that you're not going to go order a ham sandwich at the next restaurant you're going to? How sure are you of that? I am absolutely, positively certain. I don't know how I would have to be hallucinating or some delusional condition I have to be in to order a ham sandwich. See, that's real mundane. But you are absolutely certain, ain't no way in hell I'm going to order a ham sandwich. Okay. You want to be just that certain about the reality of life after death, the judgment, Jannah, Jahannam, etc. You want to be just as certain as that as a reality. Therefore, that will condition your behavior in this world. So let's move on. So the next thing is get the science of the ritual. Get the science of what's been revealed, either out of the Quran or what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave under inspiration and light. You get that science, and when you apply that, you will get the best in this world. So when God says, don't forget your share of the material world, he's saying, don't just read this for your journey to the judgment day. Now use your intellect to decipher, I'll put it that way, to decipher the worldly science for what you have read as a, quote, revelation. I'll tell you what's on my mind right now. It's not my intention to really deal with detail, but zikr. Zikr is, you know, most of us, when we know about zikr, subhanAllah, 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 and that is, that's a part of it, right? Zikr is thought, thinking, mind. So zikr, first order zikr, is purification for the destiny that I'm talking about. But what is it? It is a science of what? It's a science of creating brain patterns in your mind. Your mind is the personalization of your brain. The brain patterns in your head are your brain patterns. Brain patterns in my head are my brain. How do they get created? By my experience, by my education, by my repetitions. Whatever my repetitions, whatever my habits have been, that's what has patterned my brain. Whatever your repetitions are, whatever your behaviors have been, that's what has patterned your brain. So each one of us has what you call fixed action patterns. We have modal action patterns in our brain, and it leads us. See, it leads us to get things fast. I have to say it since I've gone this far. Myelination, look that up. Myelination, M-Y-L-E-N-A-T-I-O-N. Myelination. Shortest version I can imagine right now is your brain, every experience, every action, then there it starts forming and shaping brain patterns. And there's a time when certain brain patterns are immature because you just started doing whatever that is, don't matter. You can be talking about anything, walking, talking, in swimming, playing chess, anything. There's a time when you're just getting started, the brain pattern for that activity is weak. It's immature. But if you keep doing it, then the body is going to say, oh, okay, look like we're going to be doing this for a while. Okay, so let's do this. Now, this employee is inside of yourself, talking about yourself. Okay, look like he's going to keep doing this. Okay, look, this is what we're going to do. This piece over here that he don't do that much, seems like he ain't using it so much. So look, let's get rid of that. We don't need that. Let that die. But this thing that he continues to do, let's make it stronger, faster, so that it doesn't take as much energy and effort and time to accomplish the same thing. And once it gets so mature, there's a level that it's going to get to where it is, let me just get past this. It's out of this world. I was looking at, you know, dare I say, a Ja Morant, you know. Is he like, but what about Steph? What about Steph? Yeah, that's why he has the three-point record. Because his brain pattern for shooting those 3 points is locked in like no. If you can see Steph's three-point brain pattern and see somebody else's three-point brain pattern, you'll see, okay, you got to look at it. It's okay. When you see, when it's thicker, it means it's more strong and whatever. When it's thinner, that means it's less strong and whatever. Okay, so I'm showing you two brain patterns. I want you to tell me which one is Steph's. Boom. And I say, well, hell, that's Steph. Obviously, that's Steph right there. Why? Because that pattern is thicker. It's more myelinated. Consistent. Whether you mean to or not, whatever you do habitually, that becomes your brain pattern. And once it gets set, it happens so automatically that you literally can't control it. Addiction is that. Part of it's chemical, but the other part of it has to do with fixed action patterns. Because of the brain patterns that have been set in your mind because you always did it, always did it, always did it. Brain said, okay, it looks like we're going to be doing this for a while. Okay, let's make it easier and easier and quicker and faster to do that. All right, zikr. So zikr, yes, yeah, subhanallah. But know what you're saying. Subhan. What are you saying? Subhan. Lakbar. What are you saying? That's not doing anything useful for your brain. He said, Assalamu alaikum. Angam Sam. Wait. I said, Assalamu alaikum. I said, Angam Sam. No, it's not Angam Slam. It's Alaykum Assalam. You want the brain pattern that's supposed to go with that statement? Say it right. And say it right regularly. Then that is what changes your mind. So in terms of dhikr, I want to just give just a little piece about how dhikr impacts your mind for progress in this world. Don't just think about it as life after death. Think about it as creating brain patterns that strengthen you in your capacity to get what you're having in mind done. So, you make dua to Allah, right? You make dua to Allah for whatever. You're asking, supplication. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, keep asking. You don't stop asking. Okay, I'm gonna ask Allah for this for a week and let me see what happens. Stop it. Keep asking until you get either it or Allah tells you, look, it's not going to happen this way. It's going to happen another way. Mm-hmm. And he will settle. You know if God told you. Yeah. Because your heart goes, got it, done, gone.
That's right.
Because when you, listen, now, we're in this world now. So now, you're, oh Allah, this, that. Oh Allah, this, that. What's happening to your brain? See, there's a physiological reality to that habit. And what you might not know, and I'm saying to you, and this has to come as a belief, that when you form a certain mind, that mind is reflected in a particular disposition. If somebody got a jailhouse mind, you're going to see a jailhouse disposition. Huh? Somebody got a trap house mind, you're going to hear some of y'all don't know about, but I hit everybody. Somebody got a trap house mind, you're going to see a trap house disposition. Somebody got a Wall Street mind, you're going to see a Wall Street disposition. Okay? So, your habits of mind create patterns of mind, and here comes the other metaphysical dimension of it. And we're not scared of that word. The transphysical, the beyond physical, the yu'minuna bil-ghayb, that we as Muslims say we believe in the unseen. When you say that, you're saying you believe in the metaphysical. That's what you're saying. You believe in something that's not physical, not manifest, not clear, not obvious, but you believe that it's real and it's there. I want you to look this up. Look at the fractal patterns and brain folding. Let's just put it like that. You know those little folds in your brain? You're not born with just like what, like a fingerprint, you know, that's with you forever and your brain that you were born with and it always stays the same. No, your brain gets folds in it, inside of the cranium as you live. Just look up Einstein's brain. Just look up Einstein's brain and it'll show you that his folding was different than the normal folding. And everybody has their distinct, unique kind of thing. What I'm trying to get you to say, I have to give you, what I'm saying, I've got to give you another word, fractal. Fractal, you listen, language, vocabulary, that's really what makes knowledge in this world. So I got to tell you this. Fractal, and look up fractal antennas. I'm giving you words. I want you to know I'm not just talking about, I don't waste your time or mine. Fractal antennas, look that up. And then equate and relate it to brain folds. Antennas pick up on different frequencies. I know you know that, don't you? Antennas pick up on different frequencies. Change the antenna, change the frequency. Change the frequency, then you change what's picked up. How many radio waves, TV waves, etc. do you think are in this room right now? Let's just say every one of whatever is being broadcast. Right? But how come we're not hearing them? How come we're not seeing them? Because you don't have the apparatus to pick up on them. So let's say you want to accomplish something in the world. And it's doable because you've seen people do it. And you say, I want to do that. Well, there's definitely a frequency associated with that. And they have the brain patterns, the neural patterns, the myelination, the habits of mind that have shown them by what they are able to receive and therefore perceive how to do it. Because, see, that's what Allah is going to give you. It's not like, you know, whatever, magic carpet or Suleiman and the throne, poof, there it is. No, it's just an idea is going to come to you, and you will experience it, inshallah, perhaps even as an intuition. You experience it as an intuition, but it was really, you finally got your brain to the point through your constant prayer, you think it's just the dua. Yes, it's that. But God and the Prophet tell you, do this, because there's something that's happening in your brain that you don't understand and we ain't even going to try to explain to you. Just do it. And then that possibility that you're trying to achieve that really does exist, the idea for it, the understanding of it, the way to it, the plan to achieve it, is going to come to your mind because you have set yourself in a way that is attractive to that. Don't think I'm saying what everybody says on YouTube. You're making a mistake. But you will attract because of your brain patterns, like that antenna, the ideas in the reality that will show you the way to get to what you want to get to. But if you start, then stop. Then you start, then stop. You think about it, then you stop thinking about it. You're inconsistent in the way you think about it, your aspiration for it, then you're not really committed to it. And because you're not really committed to it, you never build up the brain patterns that will attract to you that will show you how to get to where you're trying to go. You see what I'm saying? That's the science under dua and dhikr. Dua and dhikr, want to go to paradise, purify me, forgive me, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm saying also, closing, saying also, it's like, don't just apply it to life after death. Get the science of it in this world and apply it to that car you're trying to get, that house you're trying to get, that business you're trying to succeed in. Take the same science and apply that to whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in this world. And God is saying, and that's why I gave you the practice. I gave you the practice not for you to just use it coming. You're going to come here, Allah. You coming. You don't even worry about that. Yeah. And have the right intention. Boom. You already got credit for that. Now, see how it relates to ad-dunya. And look at it from both sides. Inshallah, we'll get what Allah orders. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. فله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم آمين اللهم الله أكبر بسم الله بسم الله Bismillah. We spent a couple of weeks trying to convey the fact that the intellect, that's what we're talking about. This is the third segment on that subject. Trying to convey the fact that the intellect is an attribute of the soul. And to invite you into seeing the intellect, which is abstract, but most real, in a concrete way. So we are following خَلَقَتَ وَقَدْرَ هَذَا. What is the form of the intellect? So my brief answer to that is the intellect is an attribute of the soul. It's not concrete. It's abstract. It's not from a particular organ per se. It's an attribute of the soul, which all of us are. And it's just one of its qualities. Just like your body has many qualities and many properties and many capacities, soul is the same way and intellect is one of them. Okay? Now, what I've said to you regarding, first you have the brain, well, actually you have the body, then the brain comes on, and then every brain produces a mind, then that mind has what it has the capacity, or it acquires the capacity to do these things. One of the primary things we talk about is intellect. But today, I also mentioned to you about a certain disposition. All right? A certain disposition. Now, we've said it before, but I'll say it again now. Adam is a disposition. And this is from my teacher, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. He said, Adam is a state of the soul. You have to get to a place, that state, that condition can be labeled as soul. That can be labeled as Adam. And continue the Imam's definition. He says, Adam is the disposition that you come into. Because just like I talked about, trap house disposition, Wall Street disposition, whatever kind of disposition. Okay, we're looking for this sacred disposition, and its label is Adam. All right? And that's just to begin. But it says, Adam is the disposition that you come into when your life is reconciled with the nature created by God, and that includes creation and your own nature. Then what happens when you're in that disposition, you'll find patterns for your thinking in creation. that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity and your potential inside. Brother and sister, we have a destiny by the nature of our creation. Nobody and no thing is created without an aim or a purpose. Everything and everybody, you and I, we have a purpose for which we were created. God didn't just bring you to live a little while and then just die. No. We said in the opening reading, God created us growing gradually from the earth like a plant. All of us are like plants. So how many plants do you know that grew from no seed? There's some kind of seed. I know the Monsanto, they got all that other kind of thing, whatever. They still, you know, super seeds, but that's their game. Let's not go there. The idea is natural. I'm talking about natural. In every seed is a destiny. In every one of us is a destiny. But the way you get to that destiny is you have to grow according to the pattern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for you. All right? And so in Al-Islam, Al-Islam has provided the rituals by which, and the revelation by which you can know who you are, know what you are, and you can cultivate your own reality. That's what Al-Islam is. It's like, ask yourself, do I really know who I am, and do I really know why I'm here? God created me. Who am I as created by God? And what am I here for as intended by God? Can you answer that question for yourself? If you can't answer that question for yourself, then that means that you've lived life as long as you've lived up to this point and you don't even know why you're here. That's not good. That's not good. Because what happens when you're in that state, you'll look around and embrace things that are not really, quote unquote, good for you and good for your destiny. But that's another conversation. So I'm saying, the right road is to arrive at the point where you have the disposition, where you look at creation and you discern in creation ways to go about achieving your purpose in life. When you wake up in the morning, just example, when you wake up in the morning and you are beginning to go about your day, if we have a job, that job kind of regulates and orders our life for us. You know, okay, well, I know what I'm going to do for the next 8-9 hours. I'm going to be working, and that's all I have to think about. And there are people who live their whole life and die in that way. But unless that job is what you really in your heart and soul believe that that's what God created you for, then you still are not really living true to your purpose. All right? Now, don't go quit your job. I'm going to go find my purpose. Yeah, ma'am. You convinced me, ma'am. I'm going to quit that job, man. We ain't got no zakat for you, bro. So it's like, yeah. No, it's just a joke, okay? So, when you look up at the stars, unless you're really a scientist, you don't really see patterns. You just see a bunch of lights. But when you become a scientist, more so, you start seeing patterns. Most of us can look up and see the Big Dipper and some of the other little things. That's probably about it, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, right? We see that pattern. What I'm saying, just as an example, that's what life is. Life doesn't seem to have an order until you get more knowledge about it. Then you start understanding patterns of life. Right? And so what Al-Islam does, and I'm literally just saying, when you practice Al-Islam, you take Shahadatain, and then you're in the habit of making salat. You're in the habit of, that's your habit. And if you can embrace, and you should, because it's true, if you embrace the fact that I know every time I pray, I'm emphasizing a brain pattern change. Every time I pay zakat, I'm emphasizing a brain pattern change. Every time I'm fasting, I'm emphasizing a brain pattern change. What kind of brain pattern change am I emphasizing? It's the one that Allah intended for my nature to move into and move upon. I'm exercising. I know there are folks that go in the gym. You go in the gym and you have a plan. Today is chest day. Today is arm day. Tomorrow is leg day. This is ab day. So you have all these pieces that you're trying to put in order. Good! That's for your body. What about your soul? When Allah gives us the five daily prayers, well, you're in the spiritual gym. And it's developing an aspect of your body. When you pay your zakat, when you fast, when you make dhikr, these are all giving you the strength and form of the psychic body that Allah created you for. And if you do these things unconsciously, you don't get the development that should come to your soul because you are externally focused as opposed to internally focused, which is what taqwa is about. Taqwa is about paying attention to yourself on the inside. It's like, mashallah, it happens to all of us. Sometimes you make salat and you get to the end of the salat and you don't even remember what you said. You've been in a conversation with your mama, your daddy, your wife, your children through the whole prayer because your mind was somewhere else, right? So when you practice this, that's it. So the point is the practice of Al-Islam gives us a mind and a set of eyes and a set of ears and sensitivities that are grounded in the formation of the fuller attributes of our soul. I'm talking about intellect, but there's much more to the soul than intellect. But I'm wanting us to understand that this is how it happens. You want to develop yourself, practice Al-Islam, practice it consciously, and the natural impact that it's supposed to have on your psyche, on your soul, on your reality is going to happen, and you're going to find yourself with soul fingers. You're going to find yourself with soul eyes. You're going to find yourself with soul ears. You're going to find yourself with soul sensitivities that gives you access to what is behind the material creation. And you will see, hear, sense, understand. It's not just, don't think you're spooky sitting behind the little beads. You know, you go to one of the rooms where you got the beads, you know. They're coming from the back room with the beads. I'm trying to get you there. You know, you come through with the beads and they got the candles and got a little crystal ball on the tail. I ain't talking about nothing like that. I'm saying that there's something in you. And everybody's got it. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. There's a soul in you. You think you're talking about Superman? I still say freaking Superman, but I won't say it. You think you're Superman, Marvel powers, man. That's all that fantasy to keep you distracted to not think about the potential that you X-Men. You're stronger in reality than all those fantasies that they're distracting our young people with, especially. Your soul is so powerful. And that's why the world wants you to deny it, to ignore it, to forget it, to play it down. There goes them old soul people. Yeah, man, everything real, man. I got to get that bag, man. Just look, what's up, man? I ain't mess with that, man. Miss me with that. No. Soul is powerful. And we're blessed, as I conclude, man, we don't know. If you haven't really embraced in the real tone and spirit of what I'm saying, if you haven't really embraced the favor that Allah has given you,
yes,
by having you in your heart, mind, and spirit to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, if you haven't really embraced what a blessing that is, then you're missing the real potency of it. Stepping past that, you have to practice consciously, deliberately, these practices of Al-Islam, because that's the cultivation. That's what causes your garden, the garden of your soul, to grow. It's how good are you at that? And you do it for yourself, not for the imam, not for your wife, not for your husband. You do it for yourself, for the sake of Allah. And brother and sister, believe it. Just do it. And I know some's already doing it. Some are already where I'm talking about. But I'm speaking to those who are on the edge, and you feel your own procrastination. You feel your, oh, yeah, you know, I just like the way it look. I like how I feel when I sell somebody. I'm a Muslim, man. You know, just feel good. You know what I'm saying? I'm on another thing. You're on that thing. I'm on this thing. So it's just a fashion statement for you then. Don't let Al-Islam be a fashion statement only for you. Now, you can make some hellfire good fashion statement. As a Muslim, yeah, rock that. But don't put your life in the statement. Look good when you're doing that Islam. Look good, but look good on the inside and on the outside. Because there will come a time, if you haven't already been there, where you will say to yourself, if Allah graces you, say, oh, this is what he was talking about. And you will never turn around after that, if Allah bless you. You'll never turn around and say, oh, okay. I mean, you feel like Neo that's been jacked in. Yeah, Neo. Are you like that? Oh, yeah. Give me some more. That's how Islam understood and practiced does the believer.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
Well, Allah, let not our hearts deviate now after your guidance is right, and grant us the mercy from your own presence, for surely you're the grantor of bounties without measure. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the life that you bless us to continue to experience in this world. We thank you for every breath. We thank you for every beat of our heart. We thank you for the flow of blood in our bodies. We thank you for the strength in our minds. We thank you for the guidance that you have promised us. We thank you for the little that we understand of the universe of things that are there for us to understand. Oh Allah, open us up more and more and more to your guidance. Oh Allah, bless us to carry ourselves in a way that pleases you. Bless us to act in a way that helps the realization of your will for the human being in this world. Oh Allah, bless us not to be distracted. Bless us not to be deceived. Bless us not to be deluded. Bless us not to be driven by this world's appetite. Oh Allah, bless us to acknowledge and understand the highest, best use of what you have revealed to us in your Quran and what you have given us through our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And oh Allah, bless us to utilize that to get the benefits of the excellent things in this world and to be benefited by the excellent things that come in the world after this one. We believe completely in you and we are doubtless of your reality. Oh Allah, increase us in that certainty. We beg this of you only, for none can grant it with holders but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. Wa alaykum as-salam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. You better listen to that, read that. You better think. That's how you're going to get your freedom. You better think. All right, we're here. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to spend some time together again this morning, Saturday. Alhamdulillah, you just heard yesterday's broadcast of live recording of Jumu'ah, mashallah. And we look forward to your contribution to this conversation. I do have some things stacked aside, some of those things that I kind of teased you with yesterday. Now I can give some details this morning, inshallah. So let's go. Alhamdulillah. My brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience. Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah always first and foremost. And I want to commend you on an excellent, once again, very scholarly lecture, khutbah, that you delivered yesterday. Man, you said so much, Brother Imam. I could just take a minute to ask the radio listening audience, please, to keep our beloved Brother Imam, David Hassan. David K. Hassan, in the duas. I was just informed this Thursday on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab by Sister Rahima that he had transitioned in the Janaz of Prayers there in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where he resides. Made yesterday. We also did it at Al Mumin Noon here in St. Louis and his family. He had just returned from a convoy with others, including our editor, Aisha K. Mustafa, from the Senegal there in Africa. So, inshallah, I'll have her on. He probably was going to be one of those persons that she was going to invite on. So, let's keep him in a do. I just wanted to say that. I know that take away from my 3 minutes here, but Allah put that on my spirit to say it. So thank you for giving me that opportunity. Yes, sir. You know, he was a comrade of Imam Muhammad and also a business partner with Imam Muhammad, some excellent contributions, and chairperson for the MBA for many years, Muslim Business Association. So, alhamdulillah. Wow, when I look at that, I said, what can I say in 3 minutes? So I'm going to use this, and hopefully the radio listening audience here connect, and so not to to disturb those who see coming in on Salatu Jumu'ah Day. Years ago, Imam Vernon Fareed, Rahim Al-Anhu, was in St. Louis. And he came in one of the Eid, I believe it was Eid al-Fitr, but also in giving the khutbah for that Jumu'ah. And when we had the Eid celebration, he dressed us as a community. And he related to us how disturbing he thought it was that brothers that came in late felt a compulsion to make 2 rakahs after Salat Jumu'ah had begun, when the Imam of the Khatib had began the khutbah. And he said he was talking to our leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, and he conveyed that concern that he had to Imam Muhammad. And he said, Imam Muhammad said, yes. He said, that disturbs me too. He says that really, he said that if we come late to Salat Jumu'ah, he said we should have a seat with the rest of the Jamaat at that point. He said that the khutbah is more important than that. And this kind of disturbs some of the members in our community, thinking that that ritual or that sunnah, that they could put it ahead of what was for obligatory. This brought, I mean, it came to mind when you were given the various hadiths in terms of the importance of knowledge and just knowing that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported as saying, the best of you, and he had many of the best of you, but the best of you is the one that learns the Quran and then teach it. And so, as you know, Brother Imam, it's often been said that the best day of the week, the best day of the month, and the best day of the year is Friday. And it's why Friday? Well, as a student of Imam Muhammad, it was easy for me to figure out. That's the day in which the Quran is taught. It's taught. It's the only salat that replaces a fard, an obligatory salat, but it's the only salat that cannot be replaced. And so the evidence going to the Quran as of those who want to stay with a hadith, pardon me? My time is up.
Oh, yeah, your time's been up, but go ahead.
I know it's been up. Okay, I'll stop, Brother Imam.
No, finish the point.
Oh, I just wanted to, you know, just remind us that Surah Al-Jumu'ah, and it's the ninth verse, and I think that's very significant. You know, when we look at nine is in terms of birth. You were speaking about birth and beginning and all. But this actually gives us the birth in which Adam was created, but also in terms of resurrection. We have to look at Salat al-Jumu'ah, as Allah has said, O you who believe, when the call to Friday assembly is made that you are to leave off traffic and trade, you see, and that is best for you if you only but knew. So this is Allah speaking to us in regards to that slat, like he does not speak in regards to any of the others. He says establish them. But this is how important it is for us to know and understand the significance of Salat al-Jumu'ah, because this is the day in which Adam is created, and also our mental and our spiritual resurrection. And so when Imam Vernon Farid said that, I went to him and told him, you know, I can appreciate that conversation that you had with Imam Muhammad. So thank you for conveying that to me, and I wanted to convey that to the audience. And one last thing in terms of purpose, as you were speaking about purpose, you know, as a word town, I just want to say this. Collective purpose, individual purpose. That acronym for purpose, for collective purpose, is people understand the revealed plan of successful existence. People understanding the revealed plan of Almighty God, Allah, for successful existence, not only in this temporal existence, but the life after. Okay, I stopped there. And then the individual purpose would be personal understanding of the revealed plan of successful existence. And to each is a goal. I stop there. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Imam Joel.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salamu alaykum. As-salamu.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you definitely did a lot of teasing in that of the mind in the kubah. Alhamdulillah. One thing, you brought the hadith of knowledge, you know, seeking knowledge, hours seeking knowledge over all night in prayer. And I thought about something that you said it multiple times over the years, that if you've been a Muslim for 30 years, but but you're still the same Muslim for 30 years. But what's the difference is that, you know, you made all the salat, but have you done anything else? And what quickly came to my mind, those who cultivate their soul benefited and those who don't, you know. So I just thought about that because I look at leadership and being a leader. Mm-hmm. I always look back as you have to move people off of their spot. And sometimes you can push hard. Sometimes you can, you know, you got to push off. It's sort of that coaching background that I was able to get before I became an imam. When you learn that everybody isn't coached the same way, but yet the goal is the same. You still want them to push and get better at whatever it is they're doing. And I look at that, and when you said that, I said, you know, that's so important that we remember that you know, if whenever you took your shahada, whenever you became a Muslim. If you still that same Muslim, and you haven't grown going back to your major point, the soul, and that's so important. Yeah. So I just want to thank you for that, and I want to put that out there as well, because I'm definitely, as you know me, it don't take much to motivate me. I just need to hear something, and I'm gone. But yeah, that one right there, Allahu Akbar. Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother, man.
Allahu Akbar. Shukran. Alhamdulillah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you so much. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. So, brother and sister, we're going to move on down the road here because I did. I'll admit it. I'll confess that I wanted to share this morning what I've said. I teased you about in yesterday's commentary. In yesterday's khutbah, and I want to go ahead and touch on it now. It's going to be much more. I'm going to call it. I'll call it academic. Maybe there's another word for it. And mashallah, those of you at Blog Talk Radio, I love you. I love to see you. Love to see you there and present your numbers, etc. But I am going to. I'm about to share some visuals that would be useful to amplify your understanding, underscore your understanding of what we were talking about. Especially, we talked about brain folds, fractals, and fractal antennas, and all of that. I'm going to go through this piece to share that with you. So, if you can do both, if you're in a position to go. To either my Facebook pages, you know, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and also YouTube. I understand they should be broadcasting live right now with the visual. I want to share that with you. One part of it is getting it off my chest, heart, mind, etc. And also getting it out there. And because of the previous khutbah, you do have a foundation for this. You do have some prerequisite understanding for this. So now when I share this, you can get to that next step of the ladder. And I want to encourage you. I know when I look back at my own book, Clear Path to Human Development, Human Science and Scripture Language. That, you just got to do what you got to do to get through it. My situation was, man, I need to get it done. I need to get it out there. I need to, you know, be quote unquote finished with at least whatever that was. And that's one of the reasons I pressed myself until I finished the book. But it doesn't make it an easy read. Even when I look at it, I say, yeah, you got to sit down a little bit and you got to walk sentence by sentence, page by page. Mashallah, it is what it is. But it's worth it when you get through whatever you have to get through, you know, and you get through it with understanding and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, trust me that you will be elevated by the grace of Allah, inshallah. This is no book. It's just a fact. It's information. And I'm really also driven to, I want everyone that I'm exposed to, I am making a presumption and making an assumption that I'm pretty much on the right course about going about this kind of thing that I'm speaking to you about. It's kind of like, okay, been there, done that from the perspective of myself. So I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from experience, both external and internal, both spiritual and material. And I said, I love for my brother and sister. What I love for myself is like, I love what Allah has done with me, for me, to me, through me, with regard to this way of life that we're trying to live and master and share. So again, what I'm saying, whatever kind of struggle you have to struggle with intellectually, let me stay with the Neo metaphor. It's like, you know, when Neo, when Morpheus was, had all these little, whatever those needles were, you know, I don't even know, whatever, I don't know what that was. I know it's not Shiatu, but it's something else. Whatever those needles were, somebody knows. Then Neo said, why do my eyes hurt? He said, why do my eyes hurt? He said, because you've never used them before. Because you never used them before. Okay. These things that we're talking about, some of these things you've never thought about. You just thought about it. If you're not on that track, and that's how we're going, who is that? I can't even kill the car. A name that I'm not familiar with. Okay. Let's go. So whatever struggles of thinking that are involved with your trying to grasp what I'm talking about, you just have to continue to struggle with it. Continue to struggle with it. And then also, you know, you have to ask questions, right? I look at the comments, mainly after comments. I mainly look at that at the end of the broadcast, because when I present the material from the PowerPoint particularly, I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing the radio studio. I'm not seeing the comments from Facebook, YouTube. All I'm doing is just presenting. But if you have questions, you should go ahead and put them in the commentary. Mashallah, unfortunately, I have not had good experience on the Blog Talk side. If I take a question after I've said all I've said, if I take a question, there's usually somebody who wants to take the conversation to the left after all that I said. So I actually resist and very hesitant. Unless I know who's on the other side of that number, I don't take questions off the Blog Talk side because, mashallah, my experience would tell me that wasn't even on the subject. So inshallah, we do that. So I know I'm doing a lot of preparatory stuff, but we're about to take off in a way that it's going to be a few minutes. Just focus in. I just want you to be in context with me. All right. That being said, let's go. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So Bismillah. It says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. So think, for surely you progress by the power of thought. This is the translation or the expression of it that's given by the Imam. And I'm trying to set my timer here. So is the way you make progress. That's literally, actually, what the Quran is telling us. You progress by thought. Imam Muhammad, his publication that is compiled by Imam Ronald Shaheed, Education of Sacred Matter. When our human intelligence or our rational curiosities engage the external world, there's progress for the mind and progress for the human community. Brothers and sisters, the universe, if you can remember, those of you with me, if you can remember when I showed you that little 4 or 5 ring map, that okay, this is reality. First there's God, then there's God's will, and then there's all of the creation, seen and unseen, that Allah has created, and then there's the laws that govern everything that Allah has created, and then out of that is us. Khalifa is the mature term for the arrival there, But the dawning of that Khalifa, meaning that Khalifa is the end, Adam is the beginning, okay? Khalifa is the end, Adam is the beginning. Adam is that potential, and Adam is right where we are right now. Adam is that disposition that begins to use the intellect in concert with the creation itself. I'm hearing noise. I have three of my granddaughters here, and they do what they do, and mashallah, it's all good. So the nature of our existence, when Allah says, "Thumman shaknahu khalqan akhar," then out of it another creature. So out of all that, another creature. And what is the prime quality, characteristic, attribute of that other creature? It's mind, it's intellect, it's thought. Because it begins to feed on, just like a chick inside of an egg or a caterpillar inside of a cocoon, it feeds on the food that is prepared for it by the nature of its womb, because that's what gives it the strength to burst out, transcend, transform into what the original intention was. That's what you and I are involved in. So the universe is a womb, is the womb of our transcendent existence. The universe is the womb of our transcendent existence. We are inside of it, but there's an aspect of us, which is our soul, beginning with this intellect that is disposed to feeding on that universe, such that we can get to a life that transcends the material reality. That's the object. Allah wants us to not be hampered, held down, restricted by the material creation. We are created to transcend it as we are created to be above it, and it was created to serve us. But there's a trajectory, there's a plan, there's a movement that we have to achieve from within us, a clear path to human development. We have to achieve that within ourselves so that we can get to that place, as did Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, our model example, who got beyond the star, the moon, the sun. But it starts with the life of your intellect. It starts with the life of your intellect. So this is what the Imam is also telling us. He said, when our human intelligence or our rational curiosities engage the external world, there's progress for the mind and progress for the human community. That's how we grow. I was looking for a term the other day, mashallah, here now. Distributed cognition. Distributed cognition. Make a note of that. Hold on to that. Put it in your notes. Distributed cognition. Cognition is what you're using in terms of your intellect. Cognition is what you use in terms of your mind. It's called cognition, right? So I have cognition, you have cognition, she has cognition, he has cognition. Okay, we all have cognition. Now, when we learn how to think together, and I mean in the best way, I don't mean like in whatever crazy movies that have the hive mind and that kind of thing. Well, I'm talking about within the freedom and the liberty and the nature and with respect for the reality of God, the creation and the destiny of human beings, when you have a group of people who share that perception, that way of thinking, and they have had that development, right? That's distributed cognition. Now, that's the more academic, let's just call it secular, whatever, way of saying it. I in conversation with Imam Rahimahullah Alayhi, I won't go through the whole story, but I did ask him at the end of an experience. I said, "Imam, is it possible for two people to communicate telepathically?" He said, "Yes, but they have to have the same level of purity and they have to be committed to the same project. They have to have the same level of purity and they have to be committed to the same project." And don't miss this, brothers and sisters. That means that's for good and for evil. Okay? For good and for evil. So you have good people who their distributed cognition, their capacity for communicating without wires, let's call it, non-locally, actually, is the more scientific way of saying it, the communicate non-locally, it's because they're on the same level. The same level of purity, one can be totally corrupt and others and totally committed to corrupt projects, right? Okay, well, they can create a network of communication that transcends the physical, and they can go mind to mind. But the point is that when Muslims evolve that way, it's like, we're going to get to that, inshallah, the radio set, you know, TV set, right? Broadband radio, what have you. Okay, you tune to a channel, I'm tuned to a channel, and both of us know how to tune into that same channel. Don't trip. Don't listen. It ain't going to happen until more people get there. We're so far away from being there, it's just an academic conversation right now. But I'm saying that's what exists as a destiny. Listen to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, the companion is Ibn Rawaha, right? Look up his story, because there's a story in connection with that where the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given the blow-by-blow of what was happening in a battle that was miles and miles away. I won't say hundreds of miles. It could have been hundreds of miles, but it was miles and miles away. And the Prophet was telling the people in Medina what was going on in that battle, and that was going on, and the Prophet was telling what was going on in that battle. All I'm trying to say at this is saying, look, these are the potential destinies that our maturity can take us to. And it's not a maturity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ana basharun mithlukum." I'm a flesh and blood, sensitive human being like you. See that? Even that sensitivity, right? When your sensitivity gets deepened, heightened, more matured or whatever, then you can pick up on more other things. Now, look, I know there's going to be people say, yeah, I know you so well. I'm already there, man. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Allah has blessed you. Wonderful. But for most people, including myself, we're just trying to get to that place. We're trying to get to that place where those powers can be brought to bear, and we can do so much more with less time, energy, et cetera, because of our maturity and because of our interconnection and all of those things. Those are the kind of powers that actually we will definitely need as the world continues to transform and go as it is right now. I just got to get away from the editorial piece. So the point is that when our human intelligence, as Imam says, our rational curiosity engages the external world, there's progress for the mind and progress for the human community. Okay, so you and I have to grow in intellect individually, and then we have to network collectively with our matured intellects. That's where our power that will enable us to transcend all these people and institutions and quote-unquote apparent powers that seem to dominate everything that's going on. We can cast those powers aside. But when we as individuals become networked again, because what we're doing, we're bringing forward your connection to Universal Soul, my connection to Universal Soul, and now it's become alive and conscious in us, and then we're networked with each other, then the force that comes from that, there's nothing in the world that's against it that will be able to overcome it, because we haven't even talked about the will of Allah in it. This is just mechanistically understanding. This is the power of human mind, right or wrong, good, bad, you know, good or evil or what have you. That's the power of human mind. God gave us that power. God gave the human being that power. Just like I can build my muscles or somebody else can build their muscles, he can go to work for the bad guy, I can go to work for the good guy. But the point is that all of us could develop our muscles. right? Okay, well, same way with mental muscles, same way with the intellect, same way with our development. It's like who you're going to serve with it, because it's going to serve someone. So our job is to develop this innate human potential and put it to work for what our destiny is and what the will of Allah is for in the world, right? You have Khalid bin Walid, right? Rahimahullah alayhi radiyallahu anhu. Khalid bin Walid, you had Omar radiyallahu anhu. These are just prominent figures that are in our presence, in our knowledge, that is. So, is that Khalid bin Walid? First he is fighting against us with the enemy, right? And then when he reverted, when he became Muslim, then he became Saif Allah. He became Sword of Allah, right? So the same prowess, the same skill set, the same knowledge, et cetera, that it was developed when he was not a Muslim, and it was strong when he was against the Muslims, and now it got transformed into a tool and a weapon for the Muslim. Omar the same, radiallahu anhu. All right, so I'm only trying to just make the point. You develop it, then you got to decide to put it to service for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where the tremendous strength, the hoped for strength, and the hoped for victory of us as an ummah and as a people and as a group of believers serving Allah on this earth, that's where that power is going to come from. We didn't get to it, but when we talk about the Kaaba and the black stone and the prophet placing the black stone, the prophet saying, I am that brick. Everything I'm saying right now is when you understand what that means on that second tier, right? As I said, first understand what it means for the destiny, but then also understand the signs behind the ritual. And same way, the signs behind the scripture, the signs behind the material thing in creation. When you get that, now you can make the move in the world that you're supposed to make, so that you can use it right now and benefit right now and leverage that knowledge right now to get the ahsan al-dunya, to get the excellent things in this world. Let's move on, Fahim. So another quote from the Imam, if you reconcile your life again with the nature created by Allah, then you will find patterns for your thinking. That's critical. Patterns for your thinking that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity and your potential inside of you. Our potential has a destiny. Our potential is a pattern that is growing. And the critical thing for the advancement of the growth of that potential is it feeds on the patterns in the nature of creation. But what are the patterns in the nature? Information. Okay? Let the patterns not be so abstract. It's absolutely true. You know, Allahu alam, but it's absolutely true. You will find patterns for your thinking. Okay, so you can take that, patterns for your thinking, that's very abstract. Patterns, it's true, but it's not a detail. So patterns, what is patterns for your thinking? One word, information. Just cut it, just like that, just information. If you reconcile your life again with the nature created by Allah, then you will find information for your thinking that will bring you. So it's like when you understand the respect and the place of, which is what we're talking about, what khalaqa fasawwa, what is the place within the universal system of the intellect? The place of the system of the intellect is that it stands between the material world and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands in the material world. And abstracts from, it's to abstract from the material creation the information that Allah has embedded in it so as to feed the soul for its growth and movement towards God's death. Imagine it just standing in an open plain, whatever, just an open plain, all right? And it's surrounded by whatever, the universe, the stars, the trees, everything, this creator says. But I want you to see a singular individual. And that individual, let's say he just discovered. I won't go through all the process of, you know, so he did this, then he discovered. Okay, we're already there. Then he discovered that he has an intellect. And then he gets the message and he understands that in order for you to advance to where you feel you should be going, you're going to have to take information from these things that you are surrounded by, because when you take the information from the things that you're surrounded, when you get to know this and you get to know that and you get to know this and you get to know that and you're informed by that and you're informed by that and you're informed by that, you're informed, that is what strengthens you. That's what enlightens you. That's what tells you which way to go in order to get to a destiny that you have an innate sense that there is somewhere that I'm supposed to be going, but how do I get there? Well, you start extracting information from what you're surrounded by, and it feeds you, and it comes in your mind as go here, go there, go this way. That's how the guidance, the head, that's how the guidance comes, right? As your capacity for abstracting information of which you're surrounded by, but it's concrete. You're surrounded by concrete, but they hold the information, and it is your intellect that opens up the concrete to abstract from it, extract from it, and again, put it this way, and psychically metabolizes it, such that when the nourishment for your consciousness, when it comes in and does its nourishing for your consciousness receives it as enlightenment. It dawns in your consciousness as, oh, now you see. And so you turn that light on this and turn that light on that, turn that light on that, turn it, and that light, like an X-ray, enables you to see through things, or maybe I should say see into things, the scientist. That's it. So when Imam says, then you will find, so you have to be really, you have to be in a relationship with God with all this, right? You have to be in a relationship with Allah. So your life, you have reconciled your life, again, with the nature created by Allah. Then you will find patterns, and we've said information, for your thinking that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach in your capacity and your potential inside you. So the point is, you have so much potential. We have so much potential inside of us that we haven't even touched yet. We haven't even seen. It hasn't even been exposed. It hasn't even come up yet. But look at how wonderful your life is and your sense of yourself is right now, and you haven't actually scratch the surface of what you are endowed with. But God don't make no junk. God, there's no cheap gifts. There's no dollar store stuff. In our nature, we go to the dollar store. Don't get twisted. There's some good stuff in the dollar store. But you get my point. The point is that in the context of the gifts that God has given us, maybe y'all know a better place, but, you know, in California, you know, we're thinking Rodeo Drive and Beverly Hills, and maybe you might be thinking about Macau or somewhere, wherever that is, that's fine. It's all good. So you get my point. The point is there's so much deeper in us, but it only can come out when we go on the intellectual, the thinking journey that dawns in us. Let's get to something else. Let's go. All right, let's see how much of this that we can talk about in terms of these antennas. We'll just read it. We talk about the macrocosm, microcosm, macrocosm universe, microcosm you and I as individuals, right? And the significance of the all and the small. This is what we're talking about. That even though we are finite beings, physically speaking, we are not finite beings, abstractly speaking. We are a part of the universal soul. We are just an expression of the universal soul. We are an outlet of the universal soul, and the nafsun wahida. And we're totally connected. So it's like, it's not like, I don't know, what comes to mind is like, you're not like a bubble. You know when you blow bubbles, with the little kitties, you blow the bubbles and that's a bubble. Okay, but you got the little thing where you stick the thing in there and you blow the bubble. But there's a disconnect between the thing that you're blowing the bubble, because you got to dip it back in there to bring it back out and then blow the bubble again. Okay, I'm saying to us, we are not like that bubble to say that, yeah, we're the same stuff, but we're not connected to that stuff. No. You and I are an expression still connected with the universal. So indeed, you and I, in our existence, we are just a node of expression. That's where the fractal. And actually, I got to give you another. And I've said this before. Holographic. All these things, brother, sister. I say this thing about fractal. You know, that's a word, right? That a label for something. I say another word. Holograph. I talked about holograph. Anything that we see, anything that we can talk about, even dark matter, dark energy, doesn't matter. Please listen to this. Please listen to this well. Everything is a sign. Everything is a sign. Every created thing, and when it comes to these discoveries of unseen realities, right, like quantum this or that, unseen but real. Once it's captured by thought, once it's captured by mind, once it becomes a category of things, then it exists. Once it gets a category, once it gets a name, and we're talking about scientific realities beyond what our physical vision can see, whatever, E equals MC squared, doesn't matter. Energy, right? Okay, what does energy look like? You don't really know what energy looks like. But energy is a label. It's a label, right? It's a label for a category of things that mind has discovered, and it has brought it into the world of man, and says, this is energy, right? And it does this, it does that, blah, blah, blah. No, you can't see it. This is how you know that it exists, and this is what it influences, this is how it affects, this is how it changes. Somebody's mind grasped this thing and named it, Adam, and named it, and he called it energy. Right? And once it has a category of thought, and once the category of thought has been demonstrated to be real, actual, factual, now it's real. It's in the world, and people who can think, They know how to use it. Listen, how they put these Hubble telescopes and these James Webb telescopes and the Tesla rockets and, you know, moonshots and all that. How's all that? They're using mathematics. They're using other kinds of technologies and science, most of which are very, very extremely abstract. But there are minds who grasp it well enough to put it to work, like harnessing a horse or training a dog or a hawk. They make that thing that they discovered work for them because they understand the nature of it and how to get the benefit out of it. That's what Adam does, right? Once you have named the thing, the angel submits, and now you can ride that angel or have that angel do what you want that angel to do. It can be called energy. It can be called quantum mechanics. It can be called holograph. It can be called fractal rate. Whatever. Those are names. And it's in the naming that you get the service of the angel. So if you don't build a vocabulary that is useful and real, connected with nature, that's why we don't progress, because we don't know the name. We don't have the vocabulary. And look, and if you're scared of words, if you are suspicious of scientific terms. What do you say? Hologram, man. He out there, man. He out there. Yeah, maybe. But come on with me. MashaAllah, let's move on. So the idea is this hologram. The point of all of that is to say, listen, everything is a sign. And everything being a sign, that means that ain't the thing that you're really trying to stop at. You just say, okay, it's a sign. Question, it's a sign of what? Because it's when you make the translation to how that affects and acts in your world really, when you understand what that sign, like my brother Mikhail Shabazz, I always have to give due credit there because it's a beautiful insight out of Portland. This word, significance. You know, you break it up, it's that sign if I can see. The sign if I can see. So if you get the significance of something, and that's it. Okay, I'm gonna stop editorializing, but I guess the energy is like, man, you can miss it. If you miss it, it's like you just spent this time and you didn't get what was hoped for. Now, yes, large part is on me, and I have to just go ahead and say it. I have just to trust, inshallah, you will get it. Listen, if everything is a sign, and you know that the sign is not the thing, the sign is just to tell you what's going on in the unseen. When you understand it, because when you understand it, because there are things that you need to understand, and there are things that you need to gain the force and value and benefit from, but it's unseen. I need something, but I can't see it, right? But if you understand that whatever it is that you're looking for, I'm just assuming insanity, I'm assuming sincerity, I'm assuming service to God. I'm not assuming schizophrenia, paranoia, you know, craziness. I'm talking about real people who want to get what God has for them. Okay, so that being said, that Allah has provided a sign, which if you read it, it will point you in the direction of understanding that will reach your mind, like I just did the little thing about energy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're in the right relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have the right intention, the right motivation, and by his mercy and grace, because no one encompasses any of his knowledge except what he pleases, so, inshallah, if it pleases Allah, then you will get the sign, you will see the sign, you will read the sign, and the sign will give you the conceptualization of what you can't see, but that is real, and then you'll be able to make it work for you. Like I was just talking about the Tesla rockets and the Hubble telescopes and all those kind of things. These people are using knowledge that they gain from the study of what Allah has created. Well, listen, that's what human beings are supposed to do. So I'm saying, for example, all of that, all this time I've taken to get us to appreciate you are connected to the universal soul and not in any small way or not in any diminishing way. Each one of us is connected and is an expression and holographically hold the content of what's in the universal soul. Every one of us. There is no, he only got 50%. He's only connected in a 50% way to the universal soul. Oh, but he's connected in a 70% way. He said, no, all of us are 100% connected with the universal soul, and all of us are within our small space an expression of the universal soul. See, this is the logic of it, where Allah says, all of you are just like nafsun wahida. That's what God, it's nothing else to move from that, but just say, mashallah, sadaq, right? Every one of us is the whole. Every one of us is the whole. That's a holograph. Holograph, they spell it H-O-L-O-G-R-A-P-H, but now you can spell it now, W-H-O-L, a graph, right? Holograph, the whole thing, just like holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. What did our teacher tell us? He said if there's a silent letter in the word, then there's a secret in the word, all right? So the holograph, it's an expression of the fact that in every part of a holograph, you can find the whole thing in any part of the holograph. Okay, same way with the universal soul. In any one of us is the whole. In every one of us is the whole. Okay, if it's true that in every one of us is the whole, then how much power is really in you? Okay, listen. Let's imagine somebody rejects that. Let's just imagine somebody rejects that. My question to them would be, okay, well, then what do you believe? Okay, if that's not true, then what do you believe? And what is it? What is your belief that rejects what I just said? What is it based on? Because mine is based on the logic of what the Quran says. The Quran says, "Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidatin." That's what he said. I created all of you from nafsin wahidatin. That's what God says. And then Allah says, "Ma khalaqakum fabahatakum illa kanafsin wahida." All of you are in no other way except as nafsin wahida. Equationally, here's nafsin wahida, and all of you are nafsin wahida. There's the plurality, all of you are nafsin wahida collectively, but then there's also the individual. Each one of you is nafsin wahida. And if that is true, then all the potential that is in nafsun wahida is in each one of us. Oh, that's too much. See, that's that Negro that won't let you grow. Oh, that's too much. You're doing too much. You're saying too much. No, that can't be it. Why? That's what it is. And go ahead and try this on. Let's just try this on. Because it's there. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. What Allah has done for us is just so plain. First, you have to accept your reality as designed by God. Give yourself over to it. Believe in it. Live in it. Embrace it. And now go to work cultivating your reality, which is a universe in a body. You understand us. You already know the soul is bigger than space that the body occupies. But let me just try to cover it up, get it done. You are your own little plot of reality that you have a very, very short period of time to get the use of its power and potential before you die in this world. To be had in this universe that we have access to while we're breathing and living so much. Can't you see others enjoying the benefits of the power and the access and the resources, et cetera, that's in the nature of creation? Do you feel left out? Who's leaving you out? Reality is, we have to do more with the potential that's in us to do that. So I don't know how much more we're going to be able to get to, but all of that, understand. So what I want, let me go ahead and jump to, I want you to see something, because I don't think we're going to do that. Okay, look at that picture. So you have those little images up there to the left, those are fractal patterns, fractal antennas. Those are the images of the fractal antennas. That, the other, of course, you recognize that as the human brain. The human brain, all right? All right, so that's kind of like the point of conclusion that I'm going to get to. So now I'm going to jump back. I want to jump back real quick. Let me read this note. It says, in the 1990s, a radio astronomer named Nathan Cohen use the fractal antenna to rethink wireless communication. Do you understand that your wireless communication, your iPhone or your Galaxy or whichever one you use, fractal antennas are what makes it possible. And the quantum field also is what makes that's reality. And that's people making money and benefiting us with their discoveries and getting paid for the benefit they bring to us with their discoveries. We want to get to the point where we are creators also of other things, because if you can read the signs that others can't read, I'm talking about you get there first. You discover it, then you and I can produce useful implements for the world and be, quote-unquote, remunerated for it as they are. Okay, Cohen's landlord wouldn't let him put a radio antenna on his roof, so Cohen decided to make a more compact fractal like radio antenna instead, meaning I need to do it smaller though. But it didn't just hide the antenna. We're going to be maybe about 10, 15 minutes more, because you're grown, you got to do what you got to do. So Cohen decided to make a more compact fractal like radio antenna instead, but it didn't just hide the antenna from his landlord. It also seemed to work better than the regular one. Regular antennas have to be cut for one type of signal, and they usually work best when their length is a certain multiple of the signal's wavelength. We're not going to go into all that. So the FM radio antennas can only pick up FM radio stations. TV antennas can only pick up TV channels, and so on. Okay. So what you pick up has to do with the nature of your antenna, okay? Remember what I tried really hard to say, everything is a sign. Okay, is that true for antennas? Is it true that certain antennas only pick up certain stations? Okay, that's true, all right? It's a man-made phenomenon, but it's operating in terms of the laws and the science that Allah has put into the nature of creation. So that's a discovery, that's a truth, right? So that's a sign. Right? Okay, but what is it also pointing to? It's pointing to there's a case where certain things only pick up on certain things, right? That's just a statement, which means that it's also a rule. Now, if we can make the connection between the fact that we are receptive, we are receptors, human beings, we pick up on certain things, but what is it that you pick up on? You pick up on the wavelength that your antenna is tuned to. Let's go. All right? Fractal antennas. Okay, talking about fractal antennas. This little image right here, I'm just going to brush over this image and move on. This image is to show us something that's fractal. And the main message is that this Koch snowflake, for those who may just be listening on Blog Talk, just look it up, Koch. K-O-C-H, that's how Koch is spelled, snowflake, all right? Look that up. But I'm just going to read the simple definition, and I'm going to move on. The point is that there's a confinement, but then something can be set inside of that confinement, and you can reiterate this particular Koch snowflake pattern, and you will actually be increasing the surface area. You increase the surface area of what's on the inside without increasing the perimeter that's happening on the outside. When people, I believe it's when you think about your intestines, right? You think about your intestines and, you know, how long are those intestines? I don't have a number, but the point is that it's a whole lot longer than what it may seem that our body is showing. And when you talk about veins, you talk about the veins in our body, for example, they're confined in the skin, under the skin, but there are miles and miles and miles of veins in our body. So the point is that confined inside of a small perimeter is an infinite number of surface possibilities because of the nature of fractals. Okay. That's just, okay, so much for that. So Coke snowflakes. Look at that. Because I'm going, we're headed for the brain. That's all I want to do. Inshallah, with Allah's help, I'm just headed for the brain, right? And I can start you off early right now. Think about that little circle right there and think about as your skull. Think about that little circle as your skull. And then the fractal, think about that as your brain and the brain folds, F-O-L-D-S, that occur as you live and as you experience. But your head doesn't get bigger, Yakub. Your skull doesn't get bigger other than the maturity of an adult from a baby. That's why the skull is soft when the baby comes, right? But then when the human skull, you know, it reaches its maturity, firmness, et cetera, but the brain folds continue to develop inside of the skull, all right? And what happens is that increases the functional capacity, et cetera, that the brain is capable of, those enhanced brain folds. Let's move on. So Coke snowflake. Here's another one. There's a Menger sponge. We're not going to stay there. And I'm not even going to read all the rest of that. So you can take a screenshot later, come back, look at it, read it. That's fine. The point is that they've also found other ways that fractals that are even greater than the fractals that I showed you, there's another way of these fractals, these repeating infinite surfaces. That's the point. With the fractals, things just keep going on and on and on. I told you about the Mandelbrot set. And everything that Mandelbrot set, and everything that I'm talking about, remember what I said. Everything is a sign. The fractal is a sign, right? And these mathematical realities, these are signs. Because through it, when you understand it, God is telling you about powers in yourself and potentials in yourself and powers and potential in the universe, which if when you understand it and know how to harness it and put it to work, then that's the sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa fil ard. That is how you get the service of the universe that Allah has created and given to us as an inheritance and made it to have a nature to serve us, but is not going to serve us until we know how to name it. Whatever. When you know how to name it, then you know, I guess I got to go with that. When you know how to name it, then you know how to aim it. All right? So, okay, let's move on. Inshallah, I'm just making dua for inshallah, whoever, hope you get something. Because I need to get to this brain piece. Oh, here's the other thing. Brain structure is more reliable marker of smarts than brain size. On average, women have thicker cortices, that is the wrinkly outer layer of the brain, responsible for higher level functions, and thicker cortices have been associated with higher IQs. Now you can add this to your memory bank. Thicker and thicker. Thicker and thicker. When you make thicker, the myelination gets thicker. And when that gets thicker, you can see, as they're saying, there's a correlation between the thicker cortices and higher IQs. So thicker makes your brain thicker. And that has impact for heightening your IQ. You have a link there, mashallah, the screenshot, do what you can. The team found that overall, Einstein's brain had much more complicated folding across the cerebral cortex, which is the gray matter on the surface of the brain responsible for conscious thought. So listen, brother and sister. As you live, as you grow, as you experience, as you think, then brain folds, cortices, connections, myelination, you know, neural patterns, they get thicker and they increase the capacity for you to understand and to be receptive to higher thoughts, ideas, etc. That's the reception. That's how the fractal quality of the brain inside your head equips us by the growth of intellect and thinking and reason, ذكر, إنَّفَ أَتِي ذِكْرَ, by thinking, then that's the intellect grows and grows and grows. So it's like, I mean, the great Renaissance and the great time of the Muslims, I'm talking about the Muslim, the Renaissance, of course, came after. But the golden era of Al-Islam and the golden age of Islam and the superiority from an intellectual point of view that arose among the Muslims is because they were, you know, I put it this way, you know, they were whacked on, whacked off. You know, even if they didn't understand the what we can understand now in the 21st century about the technology of what was actually going on in the brain, the fact is that by their doing what they were doing, the nature was taking its course and enhancing their ability to think and reason and abstract from the nature of creation, read the signs that Allah has created, and then the glorious era of Al-Islam came from that perspective. So it came from that experience and came from that development. And so the enemy, I want to put no labels on it. Let's just make it shaitan, came in and broke the connection, succeeded in breaking the connection between the ritual and the intellect. And so we got steeped into ritualism, spiritualism, otherworldism, connection between the natural growth of mind, intellect, and how that enables us to succeed, got lost, and the Muslims fell off. So we got a lot of mindless, blind, following ritualism. We wonder why we don't have that power. I'm pretty much done. There's a lot, obviously, there's a lot more to say. But I did have this thought when we went to Hajj. Right? Well, there's 3 million people on Hajj. Alhamdulillah, may Allah have mercy on us. May Allah accept the dua. May Allah accept our motivation, our intention. However, imagine that those 3 million people had distributed cognition. Imagine those 3 million people had a neural network connection because of their purity, because of their knowledge, because of their service to God. How much power could or would they exert in governance, in economics, in academics, yes, in culture, in the best way? But as long as everybody is just caught in the ritual, not understanding the secondary value of the ritual. The primary is obedience to God, sincerity to God, taqwa, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. That's for the life that comes hereafter, to purify our hope for that. That's the primary, but then there's the secondary. The secondary is, how does this ritual relate to my enrichment in this world? And I'm not just talking economically. You can be enriched in governmental power, enriched in culture, enriched in academics, enriched in money. Yes, you can do that. But if you never know the secondary purpose of the ritual and you never interpret it in a way that you can apply it in the quote-unquote real world that we live in right now, then it's just a ritual, empty ritual. Because it had two purposes. One primary, the life that comes hereafter. Secondary, your share of this material world. But if somebody amputates your connection to seeing and interpreting and reading how the ritual relates to the richness that you experience in this world, well, then they robbed you. They robbed you. And they robbed us. I don't feel robbed because I take what Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, alayhi, said. I know I can have more, do more, be more, et cetera, fine, but I don't feel robbed. But I can see a lot of people have been robbed. Allahu alam. May Allah bless us to be restored. Okay, so the point is that do the ritual, brain folds increase, frequency access increase, receptivity increase according to its development, and it gains more and more and more and more and more access of what's out there and also what's in here. I'm going to avoid talking about the internal, but the internal is much, much more of us. It's inside than outside. And much more the resources of our nervous system is dedicated to what's going on the inside. I'm talking about numbers that are in the trillions. There's much more resources on the inside that have work and function than the number of resources that are directed outside. All right? I'll just have to explain that later, mashallah. I don't want to take any more time. When we understand that, we can really go. All right, so we're gonna close out for today. And let me close this up. Let's see what we got here. Oh yeah, okay. Here, man, let me go up here so I won't forget anybody. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum, amin ra, alhamdulillah. Abdul Aziz, assalamu alaykum, wa rahmatullah. Imam Eric, assalamu alaykum, wa rahmatullah, wa barakatuh. Iman, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum. And Iman says, small and large intestines, 15 feet, right? I mean, well, that's a lot. But it's all compact in there, right? So, alhamdulillah, thank you for that. Yes, so alhamdulillah. So brothers, just keep your ears on. Inshallah, there'll be an Eventbrite announcement coming out soon. Dr. Nuruddin and I on March 18th, 19th, we'll be doing a weekend seminar together on the subject. My brief statement to you is the physical and the metaphysical, all right? And we'll be dealing with your holistic power and personal power and so many different things. So we do have a flyer that's coming out soon. We'll get the details soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Zay. Alhamdulillah. How you doing, my brother? Good to see you. Give the wife my salam. Allahu Akbar. Feel good. We feel good for me to say that to you, my dear brother. Alhamdulillah. All right, y'all. Let me see. All right, everybody have a wonderful day. Oh, ACU, we will have a session tomorrow, inshallah. 10 o'clock. Y'all know what to do, inshallah. See you there. God's peace to you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.